Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 66, Episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on Google and social media. It's Friday, January 25th, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Transformers More Than Meets O'Brien, courtesy of Hannah Soltis, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Oh, shit.
Get ready for this one. In the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey. Zeit Gang in my veins, so I'm out to cut the junkie with the plastic Miles balls. Gray paint the vegetables, jackfruit stars with the beefcake and a hose. Me, eh?
Hey.
Thank you to Tyler Olton for that soy second rate podcast. We're some losers, baby. That's why we are podcasters. Okay, so that is from Tyler Olton again. Yes, Sphincter says. What? Thank you. You know, Beck. Shout out to Scientology.
Yeah. Shout out to Scientology, indeed. Well, we're thrilled to be
shout out to the Golden Suicides.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Do you think he gets his talent from Scientology?
Of course.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, that's why Tom Cruise looks so good.
I mean, does Beck, like, Beck ain't time traveling with his face, though, is he?
No.
Yeah.
I think that's particular to Thomas. I think you have to be Scientology potent.
Yeah.
Yeah. To look back at.
Okay.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian, actor, and writer, Brooke Van Poplin.
I'm here.
Hey.
Hey, there you are.
It's Van Poplin off.
It is.
There we go.
All right.
It is. Everyone, get Poplin and Lachlan.
Oh, hey.
We're podcasting.
All right. Good. So good.
Brooke, where are you from?
I'm from the Detroit Verbs in Michigan.
Okay.
Going back.
Not Lachlan.
Poplin and Lachlan.
Yeah.
From the Burbs in Detroit. Lived in Chicago for a little bit after that.
Okay.
To get my comedy career started.
Yeah.
Did like Second City, I.O., began stand up, which is still questioning that choice. And yeah, then did New York City for a decade, and now I've been here about 3, and I don't know about LA still. I like the.
I was about to be like, yeah, what do you think?
I mean, I like some cool adult things sort of were able to happen for me here, yeah. But I don't know. It's a whole thing. I was like, I decided to stop drinking 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
You know, everyone else did like, you know, dry January. I was like, fuck that shit. And then right. I was like, I choose my own weird date. So I'm like starting dry January 23rd.
There you go.
To yeah, maybe there you go. February 1st. No, my goal is a month. We'll see. But yeah, it's just, I think as a lot of people say after they've moved here from New York City, like just kind of lost, don't know my place. There aren't
sure.
Very many people.
Vastly different styles of city.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I'm determined. Like this is the year where I was like, I just want to like put it out there. Like, you guys, you don't know what it means to be invited to a podcast. Like, I was like really excited to get in a car and drive somewhere. Right. So thank you.
Living your best life.
I've been here almost 10 years and I feel like I'm just now getting out of that phase, but I am a severe introvert, so
okay.
That has greatly slowed my progress. So I'm sure you're going to be fine.
No, you know, but I was like, you know what will get me really on the map is like starting my own podcast. I'm like, I'm home even more now. Like it's like awful.
What's your podcast?
It's called Sidework Podcast.
Sidework.
Mm-hmm. It's all okay. We're all former service industry or current waitresses dishing about that side. Of
oh,
the
shit.
Food and restaurant that nobody gives us any glory.
Yeah,
that's
know?
So interesting.
So almost everyone's been a waiter or server at some point in their life. Or yep. It's now been posited by Ellen DeGeneres and also our girl Sandy B. Bullock that she's like, everyone should wait tables one day of their life to understand what it's like to be able to multitask, mm-hmm. wait on someone else. We nominated right. President Trump as the person who needs to wait tables one day of his life more than anyone.
He would argue with all the customers.
Yeah.
Oh, what, you didn't like your food? Well, what's wrong with it? Okay, well, it came out hot.
It was a Trump steak.
Yeah,
those
exactly.
are the best steaks.
Probably.
We played a game where we were, there's this hashtag called server life, which is really funny if you've been a server. It's like they're on the job just shitting on tables they hate in the moment.
Right.
And so we played a game where we were all tweeting as Trump as a waiter, like hashtag server life. And he was just he's like totally in the weeds right now, basically because I reported half the kitchen staff to ICE. My right. fault.
Right, right.
Server life.
Server life.
Yeah, that'll at least work off tips.
A just
job
something.
We have to work off tips. Yeah, that'll definitely put your mind at in the zone.
Yes, it sure will. So anyways, we just got rejected by iTunes. I think so we'll have to talk to you guys for some help or something.
What? Yeah.
Yeah, we got rejected. I did everything, all the thing, and I think it's because I forgot to turn on the explicit content in SoundCloud.
Oh.
So I resubmitted, but I was like, what? We're
is
not
that
like
what
the
this is
we're
for?
Not like the Hitler Youth podcast,
right.
Like you know.
They're on the front page of iTunes right
I'm
now.
I'm looking now and it looks like it might be the graphic nudity in your logo. Maybe.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I'm just joking.
I was like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah, no. One day is exactly how long I lasted as a waiter. I was very bad at it.
Ooh.
I have very shaky hands.
Oh, no.
So.
Yeah.
Just
but, pouring water all over the table.
I'm good.
Jesus, sir. This shirt is Prada.
All right, Brooke, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment.
Sure.
First, we're telling our listeners a few of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about Mark Zuckerberg's meat obsession and how he kills that meat. We're going to talk about the State of the Union address being delayed and just how the right is dealing with the idea that maybe the negotiator-in-chief isn't that good at negotiating. We're going to talk about Venezuela being an absolute shit show, all of that and plenty more. But first, Brooke, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, God, I don't know. I feel like I already blew that up at the top. I was like, it is just nonstop searches. Like, why did iTunes reject me?
Right.
Why can't I have a podcast? I was like really going through it and I was like, what? It's just like this and then seamless. And then I was really, also researching Dutch wool mid-century modern blankets.
Wow.
So there we are, everybody.
That is very specific.
Why Dutch wool?
Because they're so fucking rad. You got to look that shit up. They're so cool. Like, especially if you look on Etsy, I kind of got a little obsessed. I really love interior decor, but not spending a ton of money on it.
Ooh.
And there are these old vintage blankets that you throw over a nice new bed, and they just like are one of a kind, and
I hope soft. I have $400 no. blanket money.
Not soft. No, scratchy.
I keep waking up with like wiry pieces of wool in my eyeball, but my room looks so good. I'll show you a picture. We can talk. This is like, there's nothing against pulling up a photo.
I just
while
you're
podcasting, but I got the best one.
Well, say it's not one you cuddle with on the couch. You like put that to secure all the heat. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
it's
okay.
Sick.
Living that mid-century modern dream,
right?
Oh,
but
yeah.
It also like it looks like an alpaca living on my bed.
Yeah.
And but the dogs love it. They feel like they're in like a wolf den, just like being cuddled.
And it's good for exfoliating the skin.
Yeah.
Anyway, and the eyeballs.
Yeah, but that was just a weird recent. You know, you're welcome, Etsy, if you get a bump with
the
your
Etsy
Dutch
bump.
Wool, you know, blanket sales.
Yeah.
I'm also Dutch, bump. So it felt,
I was
just like, yeah, Van Poppelen. Come on.
Yeah.
Van Poppelen.
And you're kind of wearing orange, too, you know?
That, I'm a little on the nose right now.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Wooden shoes, you can't see them underneath.
Exactly.
Came clogging in.
What is something you think is underrated?
So this is interesting. I'm going to go out there, everybody. I think underrated right now. Ooh, I almost feel like because I did it overrated first. Could we?
Let's do overrated first.
Counter argument to underrated.
Good. It's all about presentation.
Exactly.
So what's overrated?
Let's overrate. Everyone abusing and using, I think, the concept and the term like self-care.
Uh-huh.
And this idea that I'm like, no, like, self-care, I think ultimately, I think for your average person who's not a spoiled brat, it's like boundaries, you know?
Right.
If you're like a mom who is just like, oh my God, like I need to ask my mom or a friend to come over for 1 hour to take care of these kids so like I can have an adult moment or whatever,
right.
Where everyone else is like, self-care, going to like
brunch.
Brunch, yeah. Exactly. And it's all like for a lot of people, it's escapism and money spending, you know? And like I also think that like, because on the flip side, I'm like, what's underrated is accountability. Which is, I think, the flip side of self-care is like, and I'm sorry I'm going like deep on this.
No,
but,
this is great.
But I'm just like, no. What you need to do is actually probably fix some of your fucked up persona and problems, which contribute to you constantly being like, God, I need a mimosa to wash this away. And I feel like the ultimate person who has no accountability but constantly does self-care is once again Trump. It's just like, oh, God, I left the government on fire. Here I come, Mar-a-Lago, self-care,
Better go to get my mind off of this.
Yeah, I feel like self-care is being like really co-opted for, you know, once again, like spoiled, pampered Instagram culture.
Sure.
And I think more people need accountability in their
life. I think accountability too. Like it's a lot of people deal in self-delusion or it's easy to all the time sort of look externally at problems you're experiencing and never even take a second to sort of look inward and be like, am I contributing to this in any way? Rather than the mentality of like, I mean, look at all this shit around me. I need to self-care the fuck out of myself.
Right.
And it's like, I think the term self-care certainly came out of like the past 2 years of like the presidency. For some people, they've been really activated into, you know, be nuts. But it's like, how about do not digest a never-ending flow of news cycle? Because like then, of course you feel like you need to go just like into a self-deprivation, you know, a tank or whatever, floating, whatever. But it's about monitoring, you know, maybe modifying some of your behaviors. Like, okay, here's an example. Self-care. Told myself, you need a king-sized bed with a big Dutch blanket on it because you're worth it. Because also, your boyfriend complained that the dogs kick you guys all night long, hog the bed in your little queen bed.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, I am sleeping in this king bed. I'm being kicked in the head all night. I just scoot over from one side of my giant bed now with both of those assholes following me. The truth is accountability. I need to get them training and they need to learn how to not sleep with me and not scream through the night. But I'm unwilling to like have more than like two nights of that where I was like, I got to get a king bed.
Yeah.
And
that's
it's
the same solution.
It's the same problem. And it's like, no, it's like a joke with my friends now where I'm like, yeah, I think I'm really going to buckle down and get the dog some training.
Right.
And then now I've got a bed I can't ever remove from my house again because it's so big.
They have to, like,
I think you need to break up with this guy. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, right. That's
sounds
self-care.
Like he's
look
the
what
problem.
You made me do. You should have been training these dogs.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, I think this is a very good point. You know, a lot of the people who are the happiest are people who you know, live for other people and are accountable to other people, and like some of the poorest countries in the world have like happiness ratings way higher than ours, and it's just being around like family and having close-knit communities. And but you can't really monetize that. You can't sell it in America. And like things that's just a constant like lens that we should be viewing everything through, is that the solutions that you're given on a day-to-day basis in America are just like whatever the best version of that is to sell, as opposed to like what's actually good for like, a person.
What's available to you externally.
Right.
Well, right. And it's like, you know what's not sexy? Cognitive behavioral therapy.
Right.
You know, and what is sexy is like following some dumb lifestyle, you know, influencer on Instagram.
Goop.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That sort of thing. Which...
like, I need a geometric ring.
Exactly. Right. And like, I'm guilty. I've got like weird...
for sure.
I bought a weird shaped water. This is the most embarrassing thing. I was just like up too late. Those Instagram ads got me. I bought a flat water bottle that you hold a little more like a book.
Like,
I don't even know what state of mind I was in, but I was like, this is certainly a more chic way to move about the world carrying a water bottle.
Right.
$35 showed up at my house, and I was like, you're done. You're cut off.
Right.
Send this back now.
Right.
This is so stupid. And I was like taken in by like a different tactile holding experience of a water bottle. I was like,
it's going to change.
What have I done?
Right. God, Brooke, wake up.
Right.
You know, but like that.
But you can keep it in a stack of books, which you're always carrying around.
Right.
When you go to class.
Right.
I was like, do I currently have an issue storing a water bottle in my backpack in the little side thing that's already meant for
designed
it?
Designed like, for a water bottle.
You're like, that laptop slot in my backpack is feeling empty.
Right.
Oh, I'll put a water bottle in there that is flat, void filled.
All right. And finally, what is a myth? What is something people think is true, you know, to be false, besides the one you just busted for us?
Yeah, totally. I think it's just interesting because I was thinking, too, you're like, oh, I'm not feeling well. And as much as I'm like, dude, you just start taking some of that oregano oil. You know, I do believe, and because I'm like, I just think it burns all living organisms just out of your throat, good and bad.
Sure. Oh, at the Creation Juice place, I'll take that wild shot that's called like the cure or whatever. It's just like raw garlic and ginger, which usually it helps my throat feel a lot better. Anyway,
I digress. I think it's just like I've tried to pump the brakes on being so oversold by this idea that like all Western medicine is bad. Like, yeah, there are awful companies, there are self-serving doctors, but like this idea that people who peddle completely unregulated vitamins aren't also a billion-dollar industry who are just trying to sell you stuff. And I'm like really trying. So it's not that like I debunked it per se. It's just like I think everyone's going super overboard. Again, feeding into this like self-care and holistic and natural.
Right.
And it's like, dude, like they're spraying organic fields with stuff that's actually not on a list of safe chemicals for humans to ingest as well. And just because it qualifies under the standard of organic doesn't mean it's good for you. So I just feel like it's this like false choice.
Right.
And while I don't have the science to take down organics, I'm just asking more questions and asking what are people's motivations for wanting to like peddle you this stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the Goops of the world, especially too, right?
Dude, you know what? I did see like there was this interesting like her and her like vaginal steaming, you know?
Yeah.
And how she like brought that to the right, exactly.
Yoni egg,
the vaginal steaming pots that you sit over.
Right.
And
yes.
It literally has no added benefit. You're like not supposed to mess with your vajayjay.
All right, hold on. I'm going to break this thing down then because I've been sitting over it for this whole recording.
Yeah.
And
scrotum
I was
like
waiting.
Extra droopy.
I was like, are you going to mansplain a vagina to me right now?
Hold on.
Thing
you got to understand about the vagina here.
You thought I meant break it down.
Break it down.
I need to take this vagina steamer that I've had under my chair for this whole recording.
Yeah. The scrote steamer is
very uncomfortable.
You know what though? Like, don't have a problem with someone steaming a scrote because it's an outer organ, you know, which takes
steam
well to being
clean.
Yes.
You're not really supposed to get up in your stuff and clean it. You've got a whole system in place, like, you know.
Yeah.
Also, if I found out that the herbs that they put in the vaginal steaming, had I gone and done it, followed this fad, one of them is mugwort, which I am anaphylactically allergic
to.
So I would have died and gone into anaphylactic shock while squatting over a vag pot.
Yeah. Oh.
And that is embarrassing stuff to put on your gravestone.
Yeah.
More embarrassing than me and Giuliani. I lied for Trump. I died from a vag pot.
I know, like, in Italy, there's a level of organic that they call, like, biologico or something, where it's literally, to qualify, only shit you can use is water and the sun.
Right.
And if you fucking add anything, they're like, yo, you lost your license. Like, and I think the like, it's, like, enforced with, like, law enforcement.
Good. Right.
And I'm like, why can't, like, where are the people who are giving us that? But I guess for the scale of, like, crops or whatever people are growing here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you just have to go to your farmer's market.
I mean, my organic fruit says biologique on it. Is it maybe just a translation?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see.
I want it.
Consumer Reports.
Literally already was like, where do you get it? What is it? Yeah. Oh, God. Brooke, stop. Stop.
All right, guys. Let's talk about some things that are happening in the zeitgeist right now. So I just wanted to, this is kind of a random one, but I think this is one of the interesting details of the zeitgeist that I always find myself paying attention to is how words filter through the zeitgeist. And I've noticed myself actually wanting to use the word wild as an adjective, like instead of like crazy or some other thing about like something being over the top. And then like I found myself using it so much that I was like, all right, I got to stop using that. And then I noticed Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez use it in a tweet yesterday. And then I woke up this morning, I had my first news flash like on my phone had wild used as an adjective. And Brooke, you have a theory on where this is coming from.
I do, and I'm not trying to name drop that I know and admire this person in particular, but I really think like Nicole Byer has been saying this like for a long time.
Yeah.
She's used it as a hilarious adjective. Like I used to produce and direct her like when she'd do interviews on Girl Code, like her Instagram descriptions have been, you know, basically she's used the adjective wild for as long as I can remember to basically describe how insane and racist people are in her comments while being really funny about it. But she's like, people are wild.
Yeah.
In these and she's been doing it for a long time. I think she's like wild is the new Yas.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's fun to have an adjective and a descriptor different than crazy because crazy's getting a little
problematic.
Tired.
Yeah.
Right. And now it is sort of like, oh, well, it's like a gaslighting word toward women or it's being disrespectful to anyone with mental, you know, health struggles or whatever. Wild is like, it feels fresh. Rolls off the tongue.
I mean, I think it's just Ebonics, you know, essentially, because it's like a thing I hear. I think it starts probably with wilding. You know, when they were using that talk about teens, the problematic use of it of like these black teenage, the like wilding.
Right.
And then that turns to wilding out or they wilding.
Right.
And then you get wild. And I think, it's like it's definitely a thing I've heard in hip hop, but I feel it's one of those things that it just reached the threshold where now it's just spilled over into the general like American lexicon.
Yeah.
Right.
Where you hear wild a lot, but I think with also Desus and Mero too, they probably use the word wild 7,000 times an episode.
Do they?
Oh, yes. And it's using it as the wild something, like as a modifier
right,
too.
Right.
Like something can be wild, or you're like, I'm smoking the wild L, you know, like whatever it is.
I'm sure it's like all of these things, you know, like it's all a bunch of contributing factors.
Yeah, and I think many people are getting it from many dimensions.
Yeah.
I think wildin' has been, I think it must descend from wildin'.
Yeah.
And I think it's also like, if you can use it in different like areas of language, it's sort of like I was in Hawaii and you just say like mahalo for everything and it's like a good, cool thing.
Yeah.
Or like you overseas, in the Netherlands, like a word like gezellig, you know, is just like good general feelings or whatever, or like lekker just kind of means like
cute
tasty,
or nice
cool,
or
cute, nice, whatever. You know, wild, I think generally is kind of, I think it's definitely attributing negative qualities to things right now.
Sure.
Right.
Or things that are extra.
Right.
Extra or negative. I feel like is kind of what that means.
I wonder, it's also like a very good description of our day-to-day lives. And, you know, we have somebody running the free world who seems to be governed by animal instinct.
It's like, wild.
And it keeps, it keeps our news cycle completely wild.
I'm still sticking, you know, I know crazy's a little played out, so I prefer crazins. I go that.
Craisins.
Or bonkers and bananas. Still stand by.
I like bonkers and bananas. Those are a couple of my faves.
not as popular.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say, I'll just attribute it to New York. I have a feeling that's where it all started.
Yeah. Big city of dreams.
Where, I mean, we get so much of our slang from either drag queens or hip hop. And a lot of the stuff we get from hip hop is coming from New York. But anyway, yeah, this is a wild segment.
Yes.
Where watching you be like, I've noticed myself wanting to use the adjective wild.
It's very delicious dish.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
I don't know. I find it interesting. I want to see if other people find it interesting and keep an eye out for
it. Well, when we hear like Corva Coleman doing like a, you know.
Right,
yeah. Be like, oh, wild, next on NPR.
I think just like the way lit has also crossed the Rubicon too.
Yeah, but yeah, that seems more like a new thing, and I understand why that is. Like, it's like a thing kids say, and it just comes up the normal way that like kind of hip catchphrases come up. But like, wild has been a thing my parents have said like for years and stuff. Like,
and I don't feel too old to say it.
Right.
Oh, there's like a non-ageism with the word wild. Yeah.
I feel like you'd see hippies say like, "Man, that's wild."
Yeah, exactly.
So, far out.
Okay,
wild,
I know somebody probably wrote a dissertation on the origins of wild in slang. So please hit us with that study.
Yeah, and I mean the vocal fry. One of the most interesting things I've heard in the past couple years was somebody tracing vocal fry as it went from, you know, Valley Girls in the 80s to then just most women to now everyone has like vocal fry, or it's,
I don't know,
like
you're
really
talking about
it's like literally also another one. Anyways, we're gonna stop talking about this. We will take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And Mark Zuckerberg,
who
is a friend of mine, Zuck. So Jack Dorsey, the founder of Twitter, was recently interviewed by Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
And they said, "What was your most memorable encounter with Zuckerberg?" And he was like, "Well, there was that year when he was only eating what he was killing. He made goat for me for dinner. He killed the goat. I guess he kills it with a laser gun and then the knife." So I guess he used maybe a stun gun is what he was talking about.
Well, yeah,
about.
Then they clarified. They literally, the way that's written in the article is a laser gun?
Yes.
And he says, "I don't know, a stun gun." They stun it, and then he knifed it. And then he knifed it?
Right.
Like a prison shank? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Just stabbed him over 18 times in the chest.
Right.
And then they send it to a butcher. And I guess he was saying there's a rule in Palo Alto where you can have 6 livestock on any lot of land. So he was just cooking wild goats. But then this is the part where it gets funny. So Jack Dorsey says to Mark Zuckerberg, I go, "We're eating the goat you killed?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Have you eaten goat before?" He's like, "Yeah, I love it." I'm like, "What else are we having? Salad?" I said, "Where is the goat?" "It's in the oven." Then we waited for about 30 minutes. He's like, "I think it's done now." We go in the dining room. He puts the goat down. It was cold. That was memorable. I don't know if it went back in the oven. I just ate my salad.
I picture them like having that conversation, and then 30 minutes later, like in that time that elapsed, nobody said anything.
Right.
They're just sitting there like, uh-huh.
I mean, I'd believe it.
Yeah. Just imagine the sound of a fork scraping on a plate, yeah, just pushing yeah around the same piece of goat. Right. Yeah. Just sort yeah of like,
But he's loving it. Like, right. Mark Wahlberg is using his hands. Just like, oh,
Mark
man.
Zuckerberg.
It's what I call him?
Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg. Yeah.
I get them confused,
yeah, bro,
too,
this
if you've
goat
seen
is
them with their
what's
shirts
up, goat
off.
Dude, delicious goat. Yeah. Him just bare hand eating the fucking goat. And like, oh, it's more succulent yeah than even I could have hoped.
So this is something that I knew he was planning to do. He like made it a big New Year's resolution at the beginning of the year on Facebook. He was only going to eat stuff that he killed. And
is that what he said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
For a whole year. And, you know, that was sort of a wave for a little bit that, like, people were butchering their own meat.
Yeah,
hey,
good for you. If you have the stomach for it.
But with him, he's not butchering. He's
right
knocking
he's
stuff out and then knifing it.
Right.
So technically, he could find himself, like, a hamburger pre-made down the street,
yeah,
stun it, knife it, and then right he's like, I killed it.
Yeah, what you're doing is not the actual butchery.
Right.
No,
you're just slaughtering.
So I get the idea behind it. Like, I think maybe if he had gone more with what you guys were talking about with like one day of
just
doing
one
it
day,
just try it for one
day, right?
Because then you have the sense of like, okay, this is what it is to take another thing's life,
right?
Like, and you're not outsourcing the guilt because you have that guilt on your consciousness. But if you're doing it for a full year and you're constantly doing it, like you're just getting better at it.
Right.
And like more callous
you're just
about killing shit.
You're practicing to what
and,
for whatever it
and
is.
I'm right sorry, this isn't like, it is to me less barbaric to just be a sharpshooter, one shot to the animal,
right,
kill it with the gun, and then butcher it so you can understand like what it takes and what a lot of other communities and cultures do where
right
you're like
process
using
it
the whole animal, like there is something so murdery versus killing
right
that he's like perfecting.
Well, especially when it's described as he stuns it and then he knifed it.
That's,
right.
That's what like the Zodiac killer does.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're just like, what?
But I mean, if anybody who's heard the smoked meats cut up of his when he debuted Facebook Live by like introducing or inviting people into his backyard for some smoked meats, you know that he's a totally normal person who I think we have a just quick clip of that.
The wood chips up and then smoking meats, grilling meats, good smoky flavor. Smoke a brisket for like 12 hours. You smoke lemon chicken, smoke salmon, you'll love it. Bison sirloin, ribs and sausage. So I'm looking forward to that. They taste doubly better when you hunted the animal yourself. So what are you guys making
Hunt
for dinner?
Up the animal.
Brisket and ribs, I hope. Delicious. Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. That is going on the ribs.
Okay, just stop
Hold
there.
Hold on.
I can't get behind Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. You fucking lame. What oh are
what
you
is Sweet Baby Ray's?
Sweet is that Baby like Ray's available is at basic
Ralph's
bitch barbecue sauce.
Vons.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yep. It's a... Look.
He also says Sweet Baby Ray's like 20 times, like it's some shit he just had
Jesus
flown in or something.
Christ.
It's the number one ingredient in that barbecue sauce is corn syrup.
Yeah.
That's... It's not good. And I guess for me, like my grandfather, he's a great barbecue grill person. And I always grew up with like learning how to make your own barbecue sauce.
Yeah, now so, you sound like a real barbecue head.
I'm a barbecue
him a great
fucking
barbecue
snob.
Grill person.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm a fucking smoker. You know what I mean? Real talk though, when the Raiders were in LA, my grandfather catered all their motherfucking practices.
Oh shit.
Yeah, because the Raiders were like, I only eat Warren's barbecue.
Oh, for real?
Yo, he used to do Ronnie Lott's turkey. He did Art Shell's turkey for Thanksgiving.
All right.
Okay. So
Miles
take
has the
that.
Coolest family ever.
Anyway, so when I hear Sweet Baby Ray's, like, I get angry at people if they, like, they're like, hey, we're going to have some ribs and stuff, and they have Sweet Baby Ray's. I feel like I need to call the barbecue police on
Well,
them.
It gets at the thing that
barbecue
I find
Becky.
Creepy yeah. about his practice of killing his own meat is that, like, so back in biblical times, like, there were animal sacrifices where you would have a pet essentially that you raised and you like loved, and then you would sacrifice it to the gods and eat that. And like, that's a thing where you actually have a connection and you respect the life of the thing that
yeah.
you're, but he's eating like a modern American. He's eating as much meat as we eat. He's just killing it all.
Right.
He's just murdering the shit out of it and then putting terrible barbecue sauce on it. Like a normal American. Like it's just a serial killer approach to,
right.
You know.
Hey, I got to work my way up to human, man. So I'm going to start
right.
with these goats. I wonder if he was really like showing off towards the end of the year, like you say, like he was getting good at it.
Right.
He's like, watch
no
this.
Look.
I'll tape the knife to the ground right here and I'll stun it. It's going to fall right on the fucking knife, dude.
Right.
I'm thinking of the most dangerous game.
Yes.
You know, like let's lure a bunch of friends to an island.
I can just picture his like face as he like, makes the kill and just like the I don't know yeah
like his old face
yeah like his old face yeah
or just his
picture
weird...
I just picture that a lot. I'm sorry that
Mark
I brought
Zuckerberg's
that
up. Yeah. I have a feeling it's like a version of what an alien thinks it would have to do to have
right.
an O face where it's like oh yes
oh
thank you.
All right. Yesterday on TDZ, we talked about Trump claiming in a letter to Nancy Pelosi that there were no security concerns with putting the entire line of command of
yep.
our entire nation
Be
in
chill.
A single room without a remotely fully staffed security service. So Nancy Pelosi responded to that by saying, you can't do it here. I mean, you can do it wherever you want. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here, basically. And Trump proved he is the negotiator in chief by totally buckling immediately. It was just like, okay, I guess I won't do it.
Okay, I'll do it from the Hobby Lobby parking lot.
Right. And it's interesting because, you know, I like to keep an eye on Drudge, and there is one conservative columnist who's like, yeah, Trump's winning this negotiation, but you really don't get... First of all, the whole like delaying the State of the Union story just disappeared the second he agreed to it.
Oh, yeah.
Because they do not want the appearance of weakness.
They don't want the headline, Nancy Pelosi flexes dick
right.
on Trump's head.
All over
and
that
And homeboy
head.
Just takes his ball and goes home.
Yes.
Right, just sort of like, mom made me come home.
Yeah.
Like, just sort of mom made, you know, cancel my party.
Yeah.
Well, I just think he didn't, like, he has not worked on any other tactics or plans now that, you know, she's the House Speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has just no idea because all of those tactics worked
right.
when the power was in, you know, the GOP. And it's just like, oh, this is a woman who's just like, no.
Yeah.
And he's like, but.
What do I do?
Yeah, but. He was really bad at this game on, like, super easy mode. And now it just, like, went to hard mode and he's
doesn't really know how to deal.
Well, yeah. And you see the cracks in, like, when you have been able to surround yourself with everyone who's a yes man and a stooge, and it, you are just so quickly exposed for not actually being good at anything
when you're
actually being, you know, checked.
Yeah.
Right.
And you have some adversity.
So he's losing Republicans like Cory Gardner, who is a senator who is
from Colorado,
who says he will vote for a clean spending bill that doesn't have anything about the wall security or building of the wall, and just funds the government for a while, independent of Trump's negotiating tactics. And meanwhile, the top story on Fox News, so the way Fox News covered this was, well, here are some other State of the Unions that were delayed or didn't happen at all. So no big deal, guys. Nothing to see here.
Don't worry. Pelosi didn't win.
Hey, look at this number one politics story. So the number one story on their political page is Lindsey Graham zings Ocasio-Cortez, says she's hell-bent on making Americans live as Venezuelan socialists. That's the best they can come up with, is just that, God, they are so obsessed with...
Why are you so obsessed with me?
Yeah.
I mean, I love that their pivot is like, fuck it, something about AOC getting zinged.
Yeah, zinged. Just zing, she zing. Said a mean thing about her.
It just shows you sort of the lack of real substantive things they can actually get around to motivate their base, that they just have to go back to like playground stuff.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what it is just sort of like, we have such a big crush on her, so we're going to throw rocks at her head.
Yes.
Because like, we don't understand how to negotiate. We also are just immature and terrible, privileged, you know, wasps who've been in power for a long time. And we, again, like have not had women who are younger, women of color, women of different generations telling us what to do and calling our shit. Like, it's wild.
Well, because now, like, that millennials are entering the political sphere, like, in waves now. They're starting to see, like, we're pissed off because you guys racked up all this debt for who? For what?
Right.
So I can pay for the fucking bill and have, like, everything else unavailable to me in terms of, like, things like an education or home ownership and things like that. Okay, well, here it comes.
Right. And we're not so irrationally scared of communism because we didn't grow up during the Cold War, so we will take better lives over being called commies.
Well, and you're thinking about this too, it's like now you've got this huge generational divide, like it's really going from people in their 80s to people who are 30 years old, you know, like Katie Hill's like 31, and they've got the same job description, and it's sort of like you getting to call your grandparents shit.
Right.
And
right.
It's like, you're like, we all work together now. And the shit you've done,
this is how you were running it?
Right.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Grandpa, we got to put you in a home. Oh, my, your office stinks. Washing?
That's always a tough time when, like, shit starts just falling apart. The dishes are, like, in the drawers, but they're, like, not washed.
Exactly.
Woof. Let's talk Venezuela real quick, guys.
Sounds really dark for you.
Yeah, sorry, man.
No, hey, man. We all have aging family members. That's right. You have to realize it's unavoidable.
Yeah. So Venezuela is an absolute shit show, huh?
Yep. Moving on.
All right. No, actually, back at Cracked a couple years ago, we interviewed a dude who lived in their capital city in like a nice, you know, single family home. Middle class neighborhood
in Caracas.
They were starving to the point that he had to use a machete and crossbow to fight off like looters who were trying to steal the mangoes out of his two mango trees, because everybody, like, nobody had any other way of feeding themselves. It was like zombie apocalypse style, just crazy shit going on. Like the society was dissolving. And turns out that's not super sustainable. The zombie wastelandocracy or whatever. And after a highly disputed election where the incumbent managed to win.
Highly disputed. Let's just say a sham fucking election.
There is now a leadership crisis. The U.S. has backed a gentleman with the last name Guaido.
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 Yeah.
And Russia is backing Maduro, who is the current leader and architect of all this bullshit. And yeah, it's not going well. Russia yesterday threatened America that, you know, don't intervene militarily or there will be hell to pay. And
something about like a bloodbath.
Yeah,
something. Like bloodshed.
Mentioned blood in particular, which that's scary.
Maybe it means something else in Russian.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, I mean, like, look, when you look at sort of what's gone down and what Maduro's been doing, you know, he basically stacked their Supreme Court with his own people, who then like used their power from the judiciary to strip as much power and influence from the National Assembly. And then from there, it just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And, you know, it's a weird situation that the U.S. is in because, yeah, there are other countries who also support Guaido or recognize him as the interim president or, you know, the leader for now. The other countries that don't, they're also in the game, too. Turkey is also like, well, we bang with Maduro. So right. is Bolivia. I think Mexico is also in the same boat. But it's a very, you know, it's a weird situation because now what we're looking at is like, what, are we going to start fucking around in Central and South America again?
Right.
You know, because that doesn't resonate very well with the people down there. Chile. So it's a very, very delicate situation. I don't know how Maduro is going to resign because he does have the military backing him, and they back him because they're able to make money and he's able to keep them comfortable based on the way, you know, he's sort of just gutting the country.
Yeah.
So
there's always going to be people with the incentive to keep the current power structure in place, and usually those will be very powerful people already.
Yeah.
So, it's a mess. There does seem to be this sort of global divide between like countries who have embraced Western civilization and then Russia, and you know, those who embrace corruption and autocracy and, you know, all that shit. And it just feels weird that we're backing the side that Trump would clearly not side with.
That's what I'm just, right? I'm like catching like, well, up on some of these headlines, and I'm like, he seems more aligned with Maduro.
Right.
Right.
You know?
Every instinct that we've come to see from him would seem to suggest that he would identify with Maduro.
Well, I'm pulling this quote right here from a New York Times article with Maduro claimed, "I am the only president of Venezuela," Mr. Maduro said. "We do not want to return to the 20th century of gringo interventions and coup d'etat."
Yeah.
You're like, that's so Trumpy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, he's still the U.S. though, you know, and that's, regime change has been a thing that the U.S. likes to fuck with.
Yeah.
And so, and like also you have Marco Rubio out here. He's definitely been one of the most vocal opponents of Maduro in the Senate. So I don't know. Maybe this is a way for them to create a like false tension with Russia to be like, you see what's going on? He if I was really with Putin, I would be like, yeah, Maduro all day.
Right.
But I'm Guaido.
You know, it's also,
what do you think about that?
It's also interesting to me that it's like, hey, Trump, you know, I know America gets involved in global relations, but it's like, how about we focus on like the meddling that we won't admit to in America and like I know. I mean, I know that's I know, but it's like we're meddling.
Yeah.
When we won't pay attention to our own country being like very meddled with.
Let's do some meddling of our own.
You know?
Gold meddling, meddling.
Meddlers right. be meddling.
Yeah. Meddler on the roof. But
he's a real bet meddler.
There we go. I mean, again, just the other thing, just when looking at Venezuela, I mean, it's a legit humanitarian crisis because I think 3 million people have left in the last few years.
And people are starving to death.
Yes. And that is also like it has a destabilizing effect on everything else. So this isn't a thing that can be ignored either.
No.
But yeah, trying to walk down the path of like, oh, well, if he's not going to resign, do we then physically remove it? That's where we start.
Also, like, our government's shut down right now, you know?
Right.
And it's just like, why take any vote of confidence from the U.S. at this point either?
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, but here, let us help out. No, our country's on fire. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just a little bro
dump.
This
is an extremely complicated situation for a functioning government to deal with. And
right.
we do not have one of those, so...
It's interesting because we've also seen that Trump likes to use foreign policy as a distraction. Mm-hmm. So this has been another story to smoke bomb the news cycle with to get people talking about like, oh, God, Venezuela, like, what are we going to do? Like, oh, yeah, maybe Trump is right about this one thing in a very myopic sense.
Yeah. I mean, but like you said, there is a humanitarian crisis there, but there has been a humanitarian crisis there since, you know, that dude was fighting bandits off from his mango tree 3 years ago. And this is the first we're saying anything about it. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The future of customer experience is here, and it's faster and better than ever before. It's time to introduce your business or organization to NICE CXone, the world's most complete customer experience cloud platform. CXone is the ultimate all-in-one solution to turbocharge your CX results so you can say goodbye to long wait times and frustrated customers. With CXone, you can achieve faster customer resolutions with every interaction, all thanks to the power of one complete cloud platform. It's now easier than ever for organizations of all sizes around the globe to create extraordinary customer experiences, all while hitting those key business metrics. Whether you're a startup or an established enterprise, NICE CXone has everything you need to engage customers, deliver smart self-service, and optimize agent-assisted service. When you choose NICE, you get unlimited cloud scalability and flexibility. So visit nice.com today and take your customers and business into the future. That's nice.com.
And we're back. And there's been some interesting statements coming out of Washington with regards to people who are furloughed and can't feed their family.
Yeah, because the GOP, I mean, not that they ever really gave a fuck about regular people, but I mean, the shutdown is really underlining this fact that it's a party of rich boomers, baby boomers, who only surround themselves with rich boomers, who only give a fuck about rich white boomers.
Yep.
And that's it. And from a policy level, they say, oh, we love the troops, we honor the troops. Then how come the Coast Guard brass are in videos nearly violating their agreements of not having politically charged statements, of being like, we have to open the government. This is a disgrace. I have people working that are not being paid. They're having to go to food banks. What is this?
Right.
Like, why are we doing this? What is going on here? And again, you'd think for all the shit that's talking about supporting the troops, arming troops, people who are in the military and any kind of armed forces or military service, we're not doing right by them. Republicans constantly talk about, you know, if you want to make America great again, not in the, you know, sense of just, you know, brown people knowing their place and white people being the exalted part of the community or population, and actually rebuilding the middle class or trying to get that foothold when you could have a job, any job, and support a family.
Right.
But yet all we see are tax cuts to the wealthy. And now with the shutdown, like we're at that point where it is the painful part of the shutdown has landed on the shores. Before, it was easy to obscure like an 8-day shutdown.
Yeah, usually the news story during a shutdown is the national parks are closed because tourists can't go to the national parks, but now that it's a record-breaking shutdown and that people have missed two paychecks. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you missed two paychecks, and then I'm also thinking of dead of winter for certain parts of this country where, like, that means power shut off. That also means anything to not paying my mortgage. And now we're talking of people starting to destroy credit that's already, like, you're not set up for success in this country to begin with. Like, it's having real implications and real effects on people. And, like, we thought the only headline for a minute that was going to get anyone's attention was lessened safety at airports. And no, it's becoming more than that. Most people can't miss one payday. Now they're going on two full cycles of not getting their paycheck. And that is just so unrealistic when the average household does not have savings for emergency because we don't pay enough people a living wage.
Right.
And then so when you're already working on that pay scale and then now you're not getting paid. What are you supposed to do?
Because I think, you know, it just shows, again, this disconnect that the party has with actual America, not just the rhetorical version where it's like, well, we're on the same team in the culture war.
Right.
Rather than the human beings who have to get their ass out of bed, go to a job, put in time, come back and have money to be able to support your family or, you know, stimulate the economy or whatever. But first and foremost, to just survive.
Yeah. And I mean, they've been relying on the culture war thing so much that they've been able to just get completely out of touch with the rest of like America.
And at this point, too, like when you go back to what do most voters want, you know, there is like basic human decency for a living wage, you know, some sort of access to health care. So now I've also heard another effect, too, is people who have like government funded rehab recovery, like where they need their treatment and medications for the opioid crisis that's happening. People can't get their treatment. So now we've also got the possibility of people who are making headway with this like manufactured drug crisis now backsliding and not having anyone to lean on. I mean, people are flooding. There's no room for anyone to go get the medication they need to get out of this hellhole.
Right. So then, you know, Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross, who
does he have a solution for us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
good.
I mean, I don't even know. I mean, this guy looks like someone who like held onto the ring of power for too long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he looks so he's from literally from another time and dimension.
Yeah.
Where he goes on CNBC when they ask him about the shutdown and like the economy, he's like, look, if you actually take 800,000 people and why does I feel bad for them?
Right.
And the money we're talking about here is only a fraction of 1% of the GDP.
Right.
So, you know, it's just a blip and it's not anything real.
Uh-huh. Like,
because he doesn't know anybody who's a working person.
Right.
So then the host on CNBC is like, what?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not talking about the GDP. Like, what? I'm talking about people who like actually have there are real world ramifications for this bullshit.
Right.
And this is what he says.
Mr. Secretary, there are reports that there are some federal workers who are going to homeless shelters to get food.
Well, I know they are, and I don't really quite understand why, because as I mentioned before, the obligations that they would undertake, say a borrowing from a bank or a credit union, are in effect federally guaranteed. So the 30 days of pay that some people will be out, there's no real reason why they shouldn't be able to get a loan against it.
I'm sorry. I was asleep.
What the fuck is he talking about?
Yeah, I mean, that is basically the most almost literal translation of let them eat cake, like into financial terms of just like a 100 millionaire being like, why don't you go get a loan
against all the equity you have? You don't,
And this is just what's so fucking just disturbing, right? Is that they're at the levers at the moment, not to say the Democrats also don't have an anti-working people agenda too on some level. But like when you have the Secretary of Commerce just astronomically out of touch with reality that he's like, I don't understand.
Right.
What is the... You just get a loan from your uncle.
You go dip into the money in your shell company.
Right.
Go to your lucky penny loafers. You should have put an old T-bond in there for $10,000. You can go to...
Like, what is... Again, it's just very, very sad to see. And I feel like Democrats have to hammer this into people's heads going to the election.
Cannot relent.
They're like, they have ceded their position as a party that... Just that gives just any kind of a fuck about people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean, like, their whole thing, they're all lockstep just for this fucking wall at this cost. And I think that's why some people, I think, you know, people like Cory Gardner, who are Republican senators, are starting to come around because they're like, this is fucked. And also, I don't know if he's worried about his election too, but, you know.
But yeah, generally there is no, it's just numbers, statistics. They don't care about actual stories and individuals. But the whole not letting someone have a paycheck because you're having a fight, it's like the optics are just, they're not gonna win out on the GOP side.
Yeah.
They just aren't. And as much as Trump and the GOP want to try and, you know, these mealy mouths sort of like we're putting an offer on the table that's just so ridiculous, but especially when it's like you are the one who took away, you know, DACA citizenship and you're going to give it back for a few years. Like, that's wild. I said
Boom.
It. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But that's how I feel. Buzzword. But I just don't think the rhetoric that the Democrats have been giving every opportunity to open the government, it's just not working.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and they just voted on some legislation to help that and they failed.
Right. So, and they knew it would.
Right.
And maybe people are saying maybe this will be a beginning, a first step to getting something together that will pass. But
the first step should have been like people not being cool with weaponizing a shutdown as a fucking chess piece in your legislative game.
Yeah. Let's hold the American middle class Americans hostage. So in our pissing contest.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah. Well, speaking of the middle of America.
Yeah.
Costco has a plan, you guys.
They might be stepping into the streaming arena.
This is wild.
Yeah. So this media exec, Mark Greenberg, apparently has been shopping an idea around for like a Netflix that speaks to the forgotten American. You know, mm-hmm. the people in flyover country in the Midwest that don't have the taste for hoity-toity shows like Stranger Things or Homecoming or The Ranch. You know what I mean?
The What's people, The Ranch?
The Ranch is that fucking Ashton Kutcher show right. that was made for people who don't fuck with Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Greenberg was working with Walmart on something like on a very similar thing because, you know, they're like, we need to team up with a brand that like middle America inherently just trusts.
Right.
And we'll not think about the destruction of mom and pop stores.
Right.
So they figure Walmart is good. But then Walmart's like, nah, I think we're all in on Vudu. That paid streaming platform. I think they have something to do with Vudu.
Oh,
so they
really?
Passed on it. Yeah. So now Greenberg is talking with Costco because that's sort of like the other very familiar brand to anyone in America.
Right.
But also Walmart's,
a lot of money.
Also Walmart's arch nemesis.
Right.
So just thinking of like, yes, get into this because I think a lot of it has to do with the idea that Netflix, they feel like although there has been huge subscriber growth, it's happening in like other countries.
Mm-hmm.
The subscription growth in the US is starting to kind of flatten out. And I think that is where these people say like, oh, okay, so they've done peak coastal urban or like metropolitan market penetration. But what about these other state? Like, what about these other places? Is there another market that we're just not tapped into?
Right.
So I don't know what kind of programming that they have will be. Maybe it'll be, you know, more Mike Huckabee specials, the leather special with Mike Huckabee.
Oh yeah, we need to get back to punching up Huck.
I tried watching it and I almost had a fucking meltdown
because we were watching Mike Huckabee's show last week and punching up some of his jokes. Did you know he has a late night show now?
I would. I told you I just stopped drinking, so I don't think I should.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Yeah,
watch it. So I'm more like on solid ground.
Self care is actually not watching Mike Huckabee.
There we go.
Yeah, that like, and I mean that. But yeah, I think that's where the market is, where they still feel that. And I think you know there was like a study where a majority of people, like in middle America, felt that the media does not actually functionally understand how they live, or what their life is like.
No, for sure. It's an interesting thesis. I mean, because CBS has an audience, you
right?
know? And CBS is one of the networks that kind of caters to more middle American viewers, but you know, CBS doesn't have some like great streaming platform or something
right.
that they're getting people to buy into.
No. And I mean, like, I was on a show for a couple years that just got canceled this week. It's okay. But, like, True TV is also kind of like the high quality network that, like, I'm sorry. It's like middle America watches True TV.
Right.
What they're doing in my mind, where I'm like, I feel like Adam Conover's show, yeah, which is so great, like, people really enjoy it. But I think he's about, like, where middle America tops out just because he's, like, debunking things and,
right,
you know, and he's, like, got an ascot on and whatever. And, like, I love all that about Adam. And but I think that's who watches TV, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's an interesting thesis. It'll be interesting to see if Costco has the stomach for it.
Kirkland, though, you know, look, they got their shine in baskets.
Right.
So Costco has already entered the media sphere, as,
right,
as far as I'm concerned, with Louis Anderson buying all Kirkland everything.
My God.
I mean, it is beloved everywhere, Costco.
Oh, my
Honestly, I might fuck, if it was called Kirkland Flicks or some shit, yeah, I would be like, I kind of have to see what's going on here.
Have you guys ever had a Kirkland signature hangover?
Yes.
What do they have?
Just big, like, ass bottle of, like, silver tequila.
Yeah.
Like, it's like if you're throwing, you know, a big get together, you do not shell out for top
right,
brands. You go to Costco and you get what they have.
Same people making it, just different bottle. Yes.
Possibly.
From the same makers.
But I am responsible for
that hangover, like, disagrees.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I love the light beer. We call them Kirkland Spices, but they're just Kirkland Light Beer. It's so aggressively generic. Unit price comes out to about 48 cents a can.
Hey.
Wow.
Yeah. Get that Kirkland Light, just swill beer.
Well, Brooke, it has been a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
Where can people find you?
On Twitter, BVP Comedy. I'm sometimes active, sometimes very silent.
Yeah, it ebbs and flows.
It ebbs and flows, you know, when I've got the emotional capacity. Instagram is @BrookeVP, and Sidework Podcast is @SideworkPodcast, and hopefully iTunes will onboard us.
Right.
we'll get to the bottom of that.
Yes.
Thank you. Will you send your people?
I'll talk to my people over there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Well, okay. I'll say this. It's a little timely. Something that made me LOL really, really hard on Tuesday after a group of us who all do stand-up comedy found out that the very, very talented and amazing Kevin Barnett had passed very tragically, and suddenly this comedy club in New York City, which I am also not a fan of, broke the news of his death.
Mm-hmm.
And it's well known that Kevin does not like performing there, you know, didn't really love the proprietors per se. And our friend Nick Turner, who is the best, tweeted, Kevin hated the Stand.
He's just like, fuck off.
Yeah, just within hours of, you know, it was just like someone needed some comic relief. And
yeah,
it's always a weird thing to be like, what do we say? And how do
right,
we make light of this? Because we are all comedians, but this is so nuts. And,
right,
you know, but that was just such like a, ugh, God,
yeah,
comedy's a savior sometimes,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Miles, where can people find you?
Find me, follow me on Twitter and Instagram @MilesOfGray. A couple of tweets I like. One is from James Fritz @FritzIsDead. It says, actually, there's a third Firefest doc that shows the rich magazines helping the people on the island.
I love Fritzy.
And then another one is from Reductress, as usual. It says, did you know your nipple is the same size as your butthole? I know because I've tried. It's like this very, this woman, like, this really confident look on her face is the image.
They are indestructible.
Dude,
Reductress is the best thing right now on Twitter.
Just cranking out the hits. I mean, nearly every episode, I'm always shouting out the Reductress writing staff.
A tweet I enjoyed, @LibyaLiberty tweeted, a terrorist plot was uncovered thanks to a New York citizen who saw something and said something, but there won't be as much media interest about the story as you'd expect. And then she's replying to a Slate story, 4 young men arrested and charged an apparent terrorist plot against Muslim community in upstate New York. But yeah, you didn't see that reported very many places. And then I have to give it out to former guest Vanessa Gritton. She tweeted, my Firefest was my 9th birthday where no one showed up because my mom forgot to mail out the invitation, but said that she did. And I took turns hitting the pinata by myself.
Well, how do you take turns hitting it by yourself? Like you rested?
Right,
like,
you take
bat,
a rest.
Bat, bat. All right.
So,
Vanessa, you're next. Thank you, Vanessa.
Her birthday's coming up in February. Find out her Venmo and hit her up.
Awesome. Yeah. Let's send her to Firefest.
Yes. you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
This is a song from Yamazaki Hako, which is a Japanese vocalist from back in the day. And this song, in sort of phonetic katakana, is written as help me, help me, because we need help right now. And also, it's just a very, very nice, moody song for this weekend.
All right, guys, have a great weekend. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back on Monday, and we'll talk to you guys then.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.